Tonight, as we move to this passage where we've been before, it's going to take us even deeper into what the Lord would have us to know. And in reading this passage tonight, I'm going to probably fluctuate between two versions of the Bible. I'm going to do some in the Living Translation. I don't normally like to use the Living Translation because there are some places where I feel that words could have been translated differently. But when it comes to numbers, when we deal with cubits, spans, lengths, because we are in an English-speaking country, instead of me every time I read something and say, this is the length of a cubit, this is the breadth of a cubit, I want to be able to cut down on that time because there's a lot of scriptures that I want to cover. And in trying to cover these scriptures, I want to do it in such a way that we get the message without a preponderance of minor details that pull us away from the subject at hand. The subject at hand is the Holy Spirit provides the grace that makes the family one for the purposes of God. Now, I may say that a lot of ways tonight, but the essence is, it's by the Spirit of God that grace is given to join all these many materials, whether it's the badger skin, the ram skin, the gold, the silver, the wood, the stones, everything is combined to make one. And that's a picture of what God is wanting to do for the family. And if those of us that say we love God are going to be rugged individuals and we're not willing to look to see where there is family that we can work together for the cause of God, there's a problem. And often I'm accused of that. Well, the lesson is not about me, because I've heard of men that preach about themselves and they just make everything horrible. But this one thing I will say, when the Spirit of God is leading you to obey God's word and you're letting Him mold you and shape you into His own image, rest fully assured you're going to be one with people you don't even know, because you're trying to build up a kingdom on this earth for the Lord God who is blessed forever. Amen. And if you will you read till I get to about the 8th verse, or you would rather me just go ahead and read it all? Okay, I'll go ahead and read it all myself. I'm going to start in the what is called the King James Version, and then I'll make the transition when we get to the verses where they start giving numbers. Verse 1 says of chapter 36, "Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom," key word there, the Lord put wisdom, "and understanding," another key word there, understanding, "to know how to work, to know how to serve," to understand what's going on here, "to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary." That word sanctuary, let's try to move our mind from being a place where there's a building with pews and there's a pulpit and there are aisles that go up and down, or some kind of stadium place or whatever. Think of the sanctuary as a holy place, a real holy place, a holy shrine, not the kind that people make and they maybe have a Buddha or something like that, but we're talking about a place where it is set apart and is so sacred that nothing is allowed to come there that's defiled, not even the people that serve it. So they have been given the ability. They have the wisdom from God, and every wise man, a wise-hearted man, to work the manner of service for the holy place. When you see sanctuary, holy place, according to all that the Lord had commanded. Again, we see the grace of God is the one that instituted this, preparing the people to be able to do this, and it's His command. Listen to verse 2. "And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom And well, in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom. Do we keep noticing that the Lord is in this? Do we keep noticing that it's not just because he's gifted? If we miss this, we're going to miss the whole picture. We're going to miss the picture that it's about God. We're going to miss the picture that if God did it then in the first tabernacle that he set up or the first temple, that it's going to be God that's doing it in the one that is going to eventually be the last. He did it in the temple here. He's going to make it a more magnificent temple during the time of Solomon. It will be called at this time a temple. They'll make one in the days of Herod. I submit to you that Ezekiel saw one. But let's not forget about the temple that we're supposed to be. If every temple that God used has a certain amount of glory, has a certain amount of honor, and is supposed to be holy, it will always be built according to what he wants. And what we're concerned about is the temple that he made to dwell in the midst of this family so that they could be one. What did you say before, Tim? I'll let you know. He had three groups of families on the north. He had three on the south, three on the east, and three on the west. These are the 12 sons of Israel's descendants when I'm talking about the family. And God was in the center. I would say dead center, but let's say live center. In the middle of them. And so what we're going to look at here is verse number 2 again. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put the wisdom, and everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to the work to do it. And they received of Moses all of the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, the holy place. Remember, the sanctuary, the holy place. We get the word saint. We get the word holy. The word behind the English here is talking about Kodesh, okay? To make it with all. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. If we pay attention to this, Moses is the one that gave the command from God. Moses is the one that made the intercession for the people. But God is the one that gave the plan. And by God giving the plan, he had different ones to do the work. Notice it's not Moses and every wise-hearted man that's building this. It's not Moses and Aaron whose heart is stirring them up to do this. Moses is given the information. Moses passes it on. And Moses is not going to try to do the job of Bezaleel or Aholiab. Let's read what it says again. And they received of Moses who? Bezaleel and Aholiab, of all the offering which the children of Israel brought. Moses and Aaron did not bring the offering. Everyone had a part to play for the work of the service of the sanctuary, holy place, to make it with all. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought in the work of the sanctuary, holy place, came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than is enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave the commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary, holy place. So the people restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. What the passage is saying here is that these people took advantage of the opportunity to have God come and dwell in their midst. They took advantage of the forgiveness that God had extended toward them after their rebellion. And they are wanting God's presence to be with them. After the last plague that God had brought on them, when they sinned against God, when they made this golden calf, their mind is ready to come to God through Moses. And the worker said, there's too much. There's more than we need. How many churches, as we call them today, will tell somebody, we have too much. You need to stop the people from bringing. I know that we said we were going to build a parking lot, but there's more than what we need to build this parking lot. There's more than what we need to build this annex to our building. There's more than what we need to do, whatever it was we said we were going to do. Well, these men, and with Moses, having their mindset to do God's work, said, there's enough. There's too much. God didn't tell us to put an extra table of shewbread in here. God didn't tell us to put an extra altar here. God did not tell us to put any extra of anything. He wanted us to make it exactly like He wanted it made. Therefore, anything that was superfluous, they could stop. So the Bible said they went to Moses. Moses commanded that they stop. Don't make any more. Would to God that we would have the heart, Lord, I want to be in Your presence. Lord, I want to do whatever is necessary so that You would be in our presence, so our family could be one, guided by You, led by You, protected by You, and provided by You. But under the auspices of the Holy Spirit here, this is what's going on. And so the people are right on line with what God wants. They had enough that was sufficient. And the Bible says they even had too much. Now as we read verse 8, I'm going to make that transition that I talked about earlier when I said that it would be easier to understand what's being said by me reading it in the New Living Translation, because we're going to be dealing with numbers of cubits and spans. So I'm going to move to that translation so that we can understand it a little better. Verse 8 said, the skilled craftsman made 10 curtains of finely woven linen, or curtains finely woven linen, up for the tabernacle. Then Bezaleel decorated the curtains with blue, purple, scarlet thread, with skillfully embroidered cherubim. Now, if you notice what's being said here, there are 12 curtains being made. And the 12 curtains that are being made, the color is given for these curtains being made. Not only is the color of the curtains being made, but it's going to give us some information on it that will help. So first, the curtains are finely woven linen. Somebody did this work. These are different strands of linen being put together, making one curtain for the tabernacle. Bezaleel, he decorates the curtains, okay, he has it done, with the blue, purple, scarlet, and thread skillfully. This is going to bring a glory and an honor to this linen to make it look a certain way. And then it's got skillfully embroidered cherubim on it. It's very important for us to realize that the first place that we see cherubim in the Bible is in the book of Genesis when Adam sins, and the cherubim are there to make sure that they don't go back in, because if they go back in, they'll be put to death. What that really is a great picture of helping us to see, number one, is that God is so holy that anything that comes to God must be holy. If it is not holy, if it is not right, righteous, it is barred. And so there's a danger when the cherubim hollers or cry out holy, or the seraphim cry out holy, holy, holy. Be afraid if you're not holy. Be afraid if you're not redeemed. Don't come up to this place. The holy place is the sacred place. The sacred place is the place where there is the protection, the guards there are, the cherubim. And so when he decorates these and put them on there as a sign and a symbol that this is not just a regular place, but it's the holy place. It's a representation of what's in heaven. Verse 9, all 10 curtains were exactly the same size. Okay, what does that mean? That means if one was this size, the other one is this size, and the other one is this size, and the other is this size. They all were exactly the same, 42 feet long, 42 feet long, and 6 feet wide. Now, if you don't know what 42 feet long is, one way to kind of get an idea of 42 feet long is about 13 yards, close to 13 yards, a little over that. But think about if a man is 6 feet tall, you could stand seven of those on top of each other, and that's how long the curtain was, okay? So when you look at it like that, or like I said, 14 or 15 feet or yards long, if you know anything about football, 6 feet wide, 2 yards wide, it says five of these curtains. Now notice what's going on here. You have ten curtains, 42 long, 6 wide, 5 curtains were joined together to make one long curtain. Notice, 5 individual are joined together to make one long curtain. This is by God's demand. This is by the Holy Spirit having them to be equipped to be a curtain, having them to be formed to be a curtain, but after being formed and being made where they could be used for the master's purposes, they still needed to be joined together so that they each could effectively fit inside of the tabernacle as God saw fit. And it says, and the other 5 were joined to make a second long curtain. He made 50 loops of blue yarn, 50 loops. Each loop has a place on there. He didn't make 38, 48, or 50 only. After 38, you had to go 39 to 50. After 48, you needed 2 more. You had 50 loops of blue yarn, and he put them along the edge of the last curtain in each set. You have 5 joined together at the end. At the last, you have those 50 loops of blue. That's for both curtains with 5 sets. Notice the one curtain, when it became a set of 5, became one set. Then it says, the 50 loops, in verse 12, along the edge of one curtain matched the 50 loops along the edge of the other curtain. They had to be perfectly put together so that they could fit, because he's going to do something in verse 13. Well, what is he going to do, Tim? I'll read it for you. Then he made 50 gold clasps, 50, and fastened the long curtains together with the clasp. In this way, the tabernacle was made of one continuous piece. Wait a minute. I thought you said there were 10 curtains. I thought you said there was 100 loops. You said it was 50 on this side at the edge. That was 50 on this side on the edge. Now 50 and 50 is 100. And then you said you had 50 gold clasp. But once the command of God is given and each individual item is joined together for the purpose of what God wants, it became one continuous piece. Oh, if the children of Israel would have learned that, it wouldn't have just been the tribe of Levi anymore, or Levi, or Levi, or the tribe of Asher, or Gad, or Manasseh, or Ephraim, or Judah, or Benjamin, or Shimeon. They would have joined together with what God was commanding of them to do. And all of the nations could have came and said, these people, this family, is walking with God so closely. He's so near them. And they are one. I want to take that which I see and which I have and find a way to join that in with them and be one with them. I want that. We see that takes place in the book of the Kings. In 1 Kings, we see that Solomon is raised up on the throne. We see that Solomon is given the wisdom that God promised that he would give him, and the people feared Solomon because of his wisdom. And we see that the wisdom of God was so righteous inside of Solomon that this passage that we quote so much in Deuteronomy, that the nations would come and want to learn. That the fame and the knowledge of Solomon's God, and God had given him wisdom and spread so far that the queen of Ethiopia, Sheba, she came to hear and to learn counsel from him. That was not to be just Solomon's role. That was to be all of their role. Would to God that we as a family of God, when we are joined together perfectly by God's command, God's instruction, by the Spirit, that each of us would have the ability to communicate to others what it means to be one with God, where there's no longer one person out of place, but that all are held in place by God's grace, God's power, so that we can live the life that He wants us to live. Tim, read some more of the sweetest word of God. Verse number 14 said, He made 11 curtains of goat hair. Now here's another set of curtains. The first one was what? Blue? Come on, class. Purple? What else? And scarlet. And then the next one, He's making of goat hair to serve as the tent covering for the tabernacle. Those that are reading the King James, let me come back to speed on that. And He made curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle, 11 curtains. He made them. Let me go back to the version that's easier to understand when we deal with numbers. Verse 15. These 11 curtains were all exactly the same size, 45 feet long, 6 feet wide. Does anybody remember how long the other curtains were? You're right, 42 feet long. These are 3 feet longer than the other one. The width is exactly the same, 6 feet wide. But if it's going to be a covering, shouldn't it be some hangover? It is. Let me show you. The hangover on this is because there's an extra curtain. There's 11, which would give you 3 feet hangover on one side, 3 feet hangover on the other side. Do you see how that works? Okay. Since you do, let's go back to where we are. Verse number 15. These 11 curtains were all exactly the same size, 45 feet long, 6 feet wide. Bezaleel joined 5 of these curtains together to make one long curtain. And the other 6 were joined to make a second long curtain. So all of the 11 pieces now have become 2 separate things. Now, what happens after that? Verse 17. He made 50 loops for the edge of the large curtains. He made 50 bronze clasps to fasten the long curtains together. In this way, the tent covering was made of one continuous piece. Do you see that many things come together to make one? Do you see that many things in this particular case come together to make one thing for the protection of the tabernacle, the badger skin, the wool that's going on top? This is what I'm talking about here. So when we have these things coming together in a continuous piece to make one, we notice that as brass that's covering this time, as it gets closer, further away from the holy place, the metal changes. From the most glorious gold, now we see it, we're at brass now. Then verse 19 says, He completed the tent covering with a layer of tan ram skin and a layer of fine goatskin leather. The framework, now you notice when you say that, you don't see it talking about being joined together with the clasp. You don't see that here. Verse number 20 says, the framework of the tabernacle. Bezaleel constructed frames of acacia wood. Now we have wood on the scene. Each frame was 15 feet high at 27 inches long. Now, 15 feet high, that's almost, well, depending on the size of the man, be 2 men and a little boy, probably. 2 men, 6 feet tall, and maybe a 3-foot toddler if you want to get the idea of 15 feet. Or if you're looking on a football field, you're talking about 3 yards. 3 times 5 is 15. 5 yards, I'm sorry. And then 27 inches wide. I don't know how to tell you. If you know what 2 feet is, it's just a little bit over 2 feet wide. With 2 pegs under each frame, all of the frames were identical. We have these 15 feet by 27 inches boards. They all are the same, and they have 2 pegs on the end. They all are identical. Notice, but they are still separate. But they still have a particular job to do. But they have not done the job yet because they're not prepared. Listen to what the Word of God says. It says, all frames were identical. 23, He made 23 of these frames to support the curtains. Notice, the frames are there to support. These members of this body, these members of this tabernacle have supports. Mm-hmm. They have a job to do. It says to support the curtains on the south side of the tabernacle. He also made 40 silver bases, the two bases under each frame, with the pegs fitting securely in the bases. The bases that will let the pegs fit in is the support, the supports of the curtains. Notice, each part has a part to play in helping it be a one continuous thing. Verse number 25, let's walk with me, please. For the north side of the tabernacle, he made another 20 frames, with their 40 bases and two bases under each frame. 27, he made six frames for the rear, the west side of the tabernacle, along with two additional frames to reinforce the rear corner. So what that means is he had six going back to the back. Then he says, along with two additional frames to reinforce the corner. So when you get to the corner, instead of the corner being weak, you got another two that you can fit there to make it. Usually a corner is made when it makes a right angle. With two additional frames to reinforce the rear corners of the tabernacle. Now you have another two pieces that may not, if they could talk, what's my role in the tabernacle? Yours is to be on the corner to help support the back wall so that the back wall doesn't fall and that the holiness of God would be in a position where he would not stay, because the holiness of God is not for all to see, because every man cannot get past the cherubim. The cherubim protects the holiness of God, and there's only one that's ever going to be able to walk up to the throne of God and make it. Revelation chapter 5 shows that it's going to be the Lamb, which is the lion of the tribe of Judah. You're going to see that when he comes, he's able to get there with God. You'll see when you read the book of Hebrews, there's only one that sits at the right hand of the Father. You will see that when God allowed the people to have a tabernacle, there was one person that could have a place that was close to his, and that was considered God's son, and he was at the right hand of God, so to speak, because he was a representation of God on the earth. The children of Israel were supposed to be able to be a representation of what God was doing in the land. But any individual that gets out of line, they help mess up the plans for God's unity and oneness in the family. So that one corner had a great part to play in the tabernacle. Let's read some more of the sweeted word of God. Verse number 29 again, the corner frames were matched at the bottom and firmly attached at the top with a single ring. So now those two pieces that would have been separate, they are together. They are one with a single ring, forming a single corner unit. Both of these corner units were made the same way. So there were eight frames at the rear of the tabernacle, set in 16 silver bases, two bases under each frame. Somebody said, we don't want to have no lesson in how to build a tabernacle. Well, let the Lord have his way in his word, and he's going to show you that this means something. If we can let God's word talk and show how particular he is, how interested he is in things being one, we might begin to understand why we need to love one another, why we need to try to worship together as we can to walk with God, so that the benefit and the beauty of what God's trying to do in this family or for this family can be something that we can enjoy as we walk on the earth today. Tim, read some more of the sweet word of God. I will. 31. Then he made crossbars of acacia wood to link the frame. Notice, he's making crossbars to go on those frames that he got, 20 on one side, 20 on another, 8 in the back. The 5 crossbars for the north side of the tabernacle and 5 for the south. He made crossbars for the rear, which faced the west. He made a middle crossbar to attach halfway up the frame, and it ran all the way from one end of the tabernacle to another. Imagine these frames, the 15 feet frame, 27 inch wide, and you got on these, you have they're 15 feet high, you have bars coming, going crossways, horizontally. You have 5 of them spaced. There's one that goes in direct center at about the 7.5 foot area. You have them going across. They're I would say you could, those who know about houses where you have chair rail that goes around a room, well, usually chair rail doesn't go up midway, but you have an idea. The crossbar is going midway, and this is going to make all of the frames be joined together. But you have five bars doing it, but you have one in the middle. Let's listen to the word of God again. He made a middle cross. Well, let me read. I'm going to read part of 32 and 33. Let's get it together. He made five crossbars for the rear, which faced the west. He made the middle crossbar to attach halfway up the frames. It ran all the way from one end of the tabernacle to another. Overlaid the frames with gold. He made gold rings to hold the crossbars. Then he overlaid the crossbars with gold as well. So what we have here is when you put the crossbars in, it becomes one wall. Hallelujah to God. When God gives his wisdom by his Spirit and his grace by his Spirit, he can take a multiplicity of things under his auspices if it's going by his word, and he can make the many one. When he makes the many one, when you see what God had said about the people in Babel in the 11th chapter of Genesis, where he said the people are one. There's nothing that's going to be withheld for them because they're one. If these people make this tabernacle one, just like God said, my Spirit will come, because now they are one in my purpose. My purpose is for mankind to be able to be allowed to help me accomplish my goal. When they're in line with me, then they won't be restrained from doing my will. Bless his everlasting name. Verse 35, read, Tim. For the inside of the tabernacle, Bezaleel made a special curtain of finely woven linen. He decorated it with blue, purple, scarlet thread, and skillfully embroidered cherubim. Notice, for the inside of the tabernacle, Bezaleel made a special curtain of finely woven linen. He decorated it with blue and purple and scarlet, and skillfully embroidered cherubim, these guards of God's holiness. For the curtain he made four posts of acacia wood with four gold hooks. He overlaid the posts with gold and set them in four silver bases. And he made another curtain for the entrance of the sacred tent. Notice now, we have him making these posts, and we have him making special curtain. Do you remember 35 of the woven linen decorated with blue? Now he's got another one that he's making. If we look at 37, for the entrance of the sacred tent, he made it of finely woven linen and brought it with exquisite designs using blue and purple and scarlet thread. And this curtain hung on gold hooks attached to five posts, the posts with their decorated tops and hooks were overlaid with gold, and the bases were cast in bronze. Notice, the other ones were in silver. We could talk about the difference in the bronze and the silver as we move on, because this is going to carry us even further into the things that's being made here. But when I took this pericope, or this cutaway, I wanted to emphasize on this. There's so much in what's going on in this tabernacle. I really wanted to emphasize tonight that with the Spirit of God, the grace of God, God has given the wisdom by his grace to take the many and make it one, to make that family one. Now, if you don't see that the tabernacle being one in the midst of the people was for the purpose of them being one, then we're missing part of the reason that God has given this. If they're not one with him, they'll never be one. If they're not one, the children of God, if they're not one with him, they'll never be one. But God did this by miraculous power. He gave Bezaleel, he gave Aholiab, he gave Moses a vision. He made other people wise-hearted. They were willing-hearted. They were willing to submit their gifts, their talents, and ability to the one that God was using to do this at the time. primarily Moses, and Moses had delegated this to do this to the one that God gave it to. But how does that work, Tim? How does that work for the family? Why is that important to us? We will never, we feel, see the tabernacle. Well, I'm glad you all asked one of the most wonderful questions. It's such a lovely pleasure to be able to serve you all in such a magnitude. So to answer your question, let's look at how God takes that same principle and applies it to us today. I'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and show you how this applies to us today. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to dumb idols, even as you were led. Were not these children of Israel? Didn't they make an idol? Weren't they also in the position of being destroyed and without God, although God had saved them?" Well, somebody said, well, that doesn't fit because these are Gentiles. They never knew God. Well, if you read Romans 1, the Bible says when men knew God as God, they glorified him not as God, and that the invisible things of the world show God's power, his eternal power in Godhead. They're clearly seen by the things that are made. They're without excuse, the Bible says. So he says they were carried away to dumb idols. So were they. But he says, "I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is Lord." That means Lord of my life, Lord, Master, but by the Holy Spirit. Now notice, no man at that particular time, they could say that this is God's dwelling place. This is what God wants me to do. This is how God wants me to build this place and be right except by the Spirit of God. If they did not have God's Spirit, they had no part to play in it. Well, somebody say, Tim, that's a stretch. Well, let's let the whole composite of the scripture show us. The Bible said there are diversities of gifts, but of the same Spirit. One had a spirit to work with gold. It had a spirit of gold to work with gold, silver, brass, wood, fine twine, linen, stones, cutting, to be able to make the things as necessary. Some had the gift that they could give the gifts that was necessary to take care and to build this place so that they could have a continuous one tabernacle. This one tabernacle is where God was going to dwell. The Bible says here there are diversities of gifts, but of the same Spirit. Do you think that the Spirit then is different than the Spirit now? Then the Bible says in verse 5 there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. But the thing is, sometimes we miss that word administration. That word is the word we get deacon from. There are differences in services, but of the same Lord. There was some that did certain works in the tabernacle, and others that did other works. But let's look at the piece of the furnishings in there. The ark did not do the same service as the laver. The laver did not do the same service as the lampstand. The lampstand did not do the same service as the altar, the offer of the burnt sacrifice. I submit to you that those that I mentioned don't do the same service as the coverings, as the curtains on the outside. I submit everyone had his particular service to do in the temple. Now, when we look at the family, the father should not have to try to be the eldest son. The eldest son should not have to try to be the mother. The children should not try to take the place of the parent. When we're talking about a family, we're looking at the institution that God has set up here in his tabernacle. And in order for an individual to understand the tabernacle, we should understand family. Because God is setting up something that's a model for the family. It's a model for his, what we call church. It's a model of what his son is. His son is one with him. There are differences of services, it calls it administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but the same God worketh all in all. But when we see that word operations, when we look in the English, we think about something else. Well, we may think about surgery or something like that. But this case, we're talking about the energy to fulfill the particular task that needs to be done at that particular time. That's the working. There are differences of work, but it's the same God that worketh all in all. What do you mean, Tim? Do you remember each one had their gifts, each one had their talent? Moses, according to the scripture, the thing that Moses built was this. He cut out the tablets. He cut out the tablets. Moses had something that he did, but he did not build one cherubim. I submit to you that any place where the minister, as we quote-unquote call it, has to do everything, and there's no one else that you can see in your assembly that has anything that they can do, it's not the pattern that we see here. But I submit to you that in a family, if the family is not working together to accomplish God's goal, we've missed the mark of calling ourselves children of God. The Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, given to every man. Did it say just the pastor? No. Given to every man. Did it say just to Bezaliel? No. To every man. I had wise men, wise women, people that taught, and if you have people that are teaching, there are people that's being taught. It was a collaborative effort. There were people that prepared stuff to bring. In other words, there were some things that had to be prepared before they could even be used. But then after they were prepared to be used, they still had to be fit properly. I submit to you that a man and a woman can be prepared to be married, but if they're not ready, prepared to be one, there's a problem. And just because a man can impregnate a woman does not mean he's prepared to be a father, or that woman is prepared to be a mother. And if they are prepared, then you should be prepared to make your family one. It should be one unit. It should not be the mother-in-law controlling your home or the father-in-law controlling your home unless you don't know what to do and they're the only way that you can be pointed to Christ. It should not be one man's effort to control something unless he's doing like Moses, pointing the people to God. And God, when you point people to God, God knows how to give them what they need to accomplish the goal. Bless his mighty name. Are you all enjoying this as much as I am? Because I'm enjoying it. Verse number 8 says, for to one is given the Spirit. Listen, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. I submit to you that this is similar to Bezaliel. Somebody said, Tim, I don't get it. The Bible said God gave Bezaliel wisdom to build and do the work and understanding to know how to do it, right? Now, we're not building a tabernacle anymore with the wood, acacia wood, 15 feet tall, 27 inches wide. We're not using curtains anymore that's 42 feet long, 6 feet wide, or covering it with another curtain, 45 feet long, 6 feet wide, and joining them together. We are building saints. We are building families. We are building servants to the Most High God. We are building disciples. We are building a kingdom of God, people that will allow themselves to listen to God and grow. We are cutting wood. What do you mean cutting wood? There are some things that need to be cut out of people's life. Wrath, envy, jealousy, strife, murder, debate, dissension. These men have to go and cut those things out of those people's lives. Just like Bezaliel, they had to cut the wood. But what do you have to overlay somebody with? With love, mercy, kindness. You have to do those kind of things that the Word of God, it tells you in Philippians to think on these things. Whatever is true, honest, just, lovely, if there's virtue and praise, etc. on that. What are they going to do? What are they going to set the stones or the sockets in? What we're going to do is put off some things that have put on beloved bowels of mercy. This is done like those men had the word, had the wisdom to build and to cut. Here we have the word of wisdom, not the wisdom of man. It says it's given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom and knowledge to train, to teach, to build up a person. Don't argue with me now. I know I'm right. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that he gave some apostles, some prophets, pastors, and teachers for the work of the service, the ministry. That was the tabernacle's job. It was a ministry to help the people be warned that when they got out of line, they could come back after they got right with each other, get right with God, and the family could be one. him read some more of the sweet word of God. It's so precious. Verse number 9, another faith by the same Spirit. To another gift of healing by the same Spirit. Do you realize that those people, as they were working on the tabernacle, having God's presence, God had promised them that if they would obey him, and here he is making sure that they need what's, have what's necessary to know what he wants them to do to obey him, they wouldn't have sickness. Here it says that to another faith, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. What do you mean, Tim? Those people would be able to know that God's presence was there because they built it like he said. They would offer sacrifices, as they said, as he said. They would keep their Sabbath days, as he said, to honor him. And God would provide them healing. No barren animals. No, we're talking about the animals now. Not even needing a vet. No barren animals. No woman casting a child and not having it. This is what they would have when they would be one with God. And here we see that God is going to provide the same thing for us. Let us strive to get what God has through the oneness of the family of God so that we can grow. That's what we need. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Somebody say, well, I bet you can't show me where that fits. Why not? Why not? You don't think that it was a miracle that these men that didn't have these skills before have them now? You don't think that it was a miracle that God would impart to these people the special ability to do things that had never been before and to be able to take it and follow from what Moses gave them to make the exact thing that they want? Will somebody say, well, that's not a miracle. I submit to you that any time that God gives you a special gift to accomplish that which he wants done and you didn't have the ability of your own, what is that other than a miracle? Well, it's not raising the dead. It's not causing the blind to see. What do you feel that causing the blind to see because you are following the Spirit of God and being obedient is more spectacular than you do what God said, and he comes down as a pillar of fire and sit right there in your midst all day for the world to see? Do you think that that miracle, you don't think that's a miracle when God intervenes? Remember, every miracle that happens, that's God intervening. It's not you doing it. Now, ever think that it's you, it's him. The pillar of cloud in the daytime? Do you not understand that God was saying, when my Spirit is there, stuff can happen. Stuff can happen that you have nothing to do with. But what about different kinds of tongues? I submit to you that their job would have been that the other nation with the other language and whatever would have learned what God wanted them to have. I submit to you, if they had obeyed, God would have provided them for other nations to understand. It wouldn't have had to wait till the day of Pentecost, because God had said that they would come. But they would not do like God said. You think the Spirit of God does not know how to talk to a man? I submit to you that there were so many other nations that were learning about God anyway, even through their rebellion. Because they made the tabernacle one, but they did not make themselves one with him. I submit to you that when Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, I don't pray only for these, but I pray also on all them that will believe on me through their word, that they may be one as we are one. I in you, you in me, that they may be one in us. These gifts by the Spirit are to help us be one in obtaining what God wants as the family of God, the one bread of God, but also to be one with him. Remember, we are representing him, which is the true tabernacle. The Bible says, and all these worketh that the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally or individually as he wills. That's the pattern there. But it was for his benefit. That was for him to build up, for them to build up the tabernacle. It's for each family to be one with the Father in his rightful place, which they talked about in the chapter that came before this, and the mother be in her rightful place, a place as we talked about in chapter 11 when we taught it. But listen to what the Word of God says. The Spirit does it. The Spirit. Bezaleel this, Ohelia this, different ones this, women this, but listen to what the 12th verse says. For as the body is one, as the tabernacle is one, as the family is one, and have many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. I submit to you that the teaching about the tabernacle is not for you to just know what kind of building they had. It's for you to learn what was really taking place there and apply it. Because the tabernacle is a picture of what God wants. And God is not just wanting a building out there. No. When the woman at the well did not understand what God really wants, she said, look, dude, this is my translation. Are you greater than Jacob? Now, his children drink water out of this well, and his cattle. Are you even as good as his cattle? Not knowing that he's the one that made that well, or the water. Thank you, precious. And so what he does is eventually say, woman, the time is coming, and now is, that they won't even worship in this mountain. They're not even going to worship in Jerusalem. You don't know what you're worshiping, but God is spirit. And I know I'm leaving out some because I'm not teaching John 4 right now. But they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. If the time was ever to come for God to be worshiped in spirit and truth, there would have to come a time when they would have to grow up, and I believe that the tabernacle wouldn't have been there. There would have to be a time that the tabernacle would not be the total focal point if they were to go into all the world. Remember, if they got to be in all the world, Belgium, France, and all that, are you going to all have to look over here at the tabernacle? There has to come a time when you know God's word. Why did Jeremiah say, the time will come and go right on your heart? Because you didn't let it be written on your heart before. Tim, read so you don't keep the people all night. All right, I'll tighten up. Verse 13, for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free. We have been all made to drink in one spirit. They were all by that one tabernacle joined together under the auspices of God in that covenant. There was not going to be another tabernacle over somewhere else. There was not going to be another place to worship over here. You're not even going to go start making your own altars anymore because I have centralized worship here. And you all are going to be under me, baptized, immersed in this system. Because I'm going to let the world know I'm one. 14, for as the body is not one member, but many. For the body is not one member, but many. The tabernacle was not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not I am not of the body, is it not of the body? If the whole body with one eye, where is hearing? Let's take this and let's look at it. If the Levi say, because I'm not the burnt altar, the brazen altar, I'm not a part of the tabernacle. Or if the lampstand say, because I'm not the altar of incense, I'm not a part of it. Or if the curtains say, because I'm not, the covenant, the protective covenant, because I'm not the veil, I'm not a part of the body, or I'm not a part of the tabernacle, what kind of problem would you have? If the whole tabernacle was a veil, then where's the brazen altar? If the whole tabernacle was a lampstand, then where's the altar of incense to represent prayer? Read Tim, okay. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not a part of the body? Is it therefore not a part of the body? No, that means, because it says it, does it mean it? If the whole body were an eye, where's the hearing? So if the whole body is the burnt sacrifice, the brazen altar, where's the mercy seat? Where's the forgiveness? Where's the judgment? If the whole body was hearing, where's the smelling? If the whole the whole thing was the table of shewbread, then where's the lamp? Where's the light? Lord have mercy. But now God has set members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. What if the whole home was a father? Where's the mother? If the whole family was just the mother, where's the father? And if all of the children think they're the mother and the father, where are the children that are to be brought up in the nurturing admonition of the Lord? Because if they're trying to be grown and they're not taught, how are they going to be brought one into the continual family that God wants? Paul knew what he was talking about, but we just have to understand it. Again, 18. But now God has set members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. If they were all one member, where is the body? Now there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The altar, as great as the Ark of the Covenant was, it could not say to the brazen altar, I have no need of you. Because there's only one time a year you can come in here. So all that time you got some issues that need to be dealt with. This is the picture that's being made. The husband should not be saying to the wife, I have no need of you. Let's get a divorce. Or the child could say to the parents, I have no need of you. I'm going to run away. Or the members in our assembly, we should not be telling the one another, I don't need you because you tell me the truth and I don't like it. When all you're trying to do is put some gold clasp in the doggone blue little loops so that we can be joined together like God say. But you let somebody come and clip your clasp. You let somebody clip your clasp and you're laying there curtain by yourself. Somebody say, well, Tim, are you trying to make everybody come to your assembly? I say, no, but you know what? I rest fully assured. Learn where you are learning about God. Learn if you're being taught God's word. And if you're being taught God's word, you need to try to get the best that you can get on teaching. If it's better than me, get it. Help me get it. But if you don't have better, let's at least work with what we've got and grow and be one family. And maybe we can be a benefit to some other assembly or some other family. But right now what we have to do in this dark, dark age is determine what it is that God wants. And I don't want to be a curtain by myself. That's why whenever I come together, I'm always trying to find brothers and sisters in the Lord. Get off of that soapbox, Tim. 21 again. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem more feeble are necessary. You know, sometimes people can feel like, I ain't got that much important role to play. Well, let's move the silver bases out from under the support beams. The 15-foot frames, 27-inch wide, where they had the two little things that would come down off of it, the pegs that would fit in the silver or the bronze bases. They say somebody might think the bronze bases don't mean much. Move the bases and see if the walls start to fall. They all have a part to play. But just because the bronze base is not as prominent as the cap over it, that silver, doesn't mean it doesn't have a part to play. Bless God forever. Amen. Somebody might say, well, that little ring is in the corner and it's making the corner. That's not that important. If God said it needs to be there to support it, rest fully assured that's where it needs to be. And we need to understand that together, under the Spirit of God, by His grace as a family, we can be one. We can be one in our homes and one as an assembly and one with people that truly love God's Word. That's what He wants. That's what He'll take no less than. And the Bible says, in those members which we think less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more comeliness. Do you realize those curtains had to be taken care of often? Do you realize those little pans and shovels and things that they had to be taken care of? They had a role to play, but they weren't as prominent as others. But without them, look at all of the filth that would have built up under the brazen altar that would have driven God's presence away. Because I want that moved from here. That's what God says. Verse 24 says that there'll be no schism in the body. Let me read, make sure I read 24. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to the part which lacked. There are certain parts where they have rods going through to support the wall. You think the rings mean nothing, but when the ring is attached to the rod that's attached to the frame, it means something. That there be no schism or no schism in the body, but that the members have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. For we are for one member, be honored, all members rejoice with it. In other words, you are so one together that you see that when one falls, it causes a suffering of the tabernacle from being what God has it to be. Now, you are the body of Christ, your members in particular. The Bible says, and God has set some in the church. Notice He's using that picture. He went from the hand to the feet to the church, and this is where I'm going to stop. God has set in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps, government, and diversities of tongues. Why are you stopping there, Tim? Because I don't want to teach the whole 12th chapter. I may have to come and get some of this later. The point that's being made is that was to show that the family of God is supposed to be one. That is to show, I'm showing you that when he made the tabernacle, it didn't only represent Jesus. It also represented the people. Everything that you see Jesus represents in a limited sense, we are supposed to be. If he's the light of the world, he said we are the light of the world. He says he's the bread of God. Then the 1 Corinthians chapter 10 say we have one bread. I submit to you that because he and the Father are one, we are to be one. Under the wisdom and guidance of God, his provision by his grace, we are to be one. That's the way the family is going to be one in him, by following the Spirit and seeing that that's what God wants and making it our business to try to accomplish that. If we do those things, we'll show God that we really do appreciate what he's doing. And we'll show God that we really want the best that he has for us. Well, I do appreciate you all giving me this time tonight. I told you I had a lot to cover, and I tried to cover it as quickly as I can without rushing through it. But I hope it gave us some pause to think, not only pause to think, but that we could go back and look at it ourselves and, you know, kind of slow it and chew it and see God is really about being one. But it's not just one to be one. It's one in that which he's accomplished. And he gives us his Spirit that we can accomplish these things to please him. Whatever role, whatever state, whatever gift that God give us, it's not for us to be just that one gift oriented church or assembly, but that we all be one in him. Father, bless your word, bless your people, bless us to know that we are to be one in our families, in love, by your grace, by your Spirit, and to take that attitude with our family, to go and join with other families that will be one with you, by your grace, by your Spirit, that we will be a holy temple unto you, a priesthood, meet, sanctified for your use. I ask this in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen, and even so, amen. Recording ended. Now we are